Now we return tonight to Psalm 119, and we read from verse 161 through to verse 168. Psalm 119, and we'll commence the reading in the portion at verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee, because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now tonight we return to verses 162 and verse 163. Let's just read these verses again. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. To congregation, Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The word of the Lord was found before his eyes, and he found great pleasure in receiving. He was comforted that he belonged to the Lord, and the Lord was speaking unto him. What a blessing, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong to the Lord, and we know that our gracious Lord is speaking to us. Well, for Jeremiah, the Lord brought the word before him, and it brought him great joy, and he was aware that his Lord was speaking to him. We have a book before us, and it has brought us so much blessing in times of darkness. In times of darkness, it has brought light, that blessing. In the wilderness, it has guided us, and in the valley, it has brought us comfort and joy. The psalmist had been through a valley experience. He found the comfort and the joy of the word of God. Just notice what he says in verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And as we noted last time, a couple of months ago, David had been surrounded by his enemies and he was in great trouble. We notice verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. They had come near, they had falsely accused, they had sought his hurt. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. Are we not reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ there in that verse? Well, returning to David, we consider the scene. He found himself in difficulty. Yet though it was such a difficult place for him to be in, he would not be deterred or moved from following God's word, and thus the way of duty. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. He was not for turning. He was under great pressure, but he looked to the Lord, and he focused on what was right. And he sought to continue on in the way of duty. He was not for turning. He loved the Lord and he loved his word. And as we've already noticed tonight, it brought him great joy and comfort. He valued it so much. So consider the scene then. He had been persecuted. He had found himself in great difficulty. But he had this respect for the Lord. He would not be deterred. He valued the word, it had brought him great comfort and joy. Come with me now to verse 162. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Well, let's come now directly to these two verses tonight. And I'd like us to consider, first of all, my rejoicing. Secondly, my hatred. Thirdly, my love. My rejoicing, my hatred, and then thirdly, my love. Verse 162, as we consider my rejoicing. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Those princes, which are mentioned in verse 161, did not know the blessing which David had found. If they had, they would not have persecuted him. And it reminds us, we would not face trouble if those who had caused us the trouble had found what we have found. They wouldn't have drawn near to us. They wouldn't have pursued us and sought our hurt. If they had found what we had found, I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. Now we note in verse 161, David was in awe of God's word. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. He was in awe of it. The Lord had spoken powerfully to him. We're moving on to this verse. We see that he had a great joy in God's word. And it goes hand in hand. Where there is a great respect for God's word, there will come a rejoicing. If the word is quickly passed by and soon put out of the mind and given so little respect, the heart will not be touched in the way that David's heart was touched. Where there is an awe of God's word, there often comes this joy. We can just illustrate this when we come to the word prayerfully, and we come to the word considering who has spoken and whose word it is. Are we not often found in the way of blessing? And we have found joy even in sorrow. Well, David had a great respect. He was in awe of the inspirer, the Lord. And he found great joy in the word. I rejoice at thy word. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word. He had this great awe, this reverence, but also this joy. I rejoice at thy word. And then David writes in verse 162, as one that findeth great spoil. Now we have here the word from the Hebrew translated here as spoil. It's an interesting word. It can be translated rightly here as spoil or prey or booty. You can see the years ago on the high seas, there would be battles. Some of the tall ships had treasure chests in them. The victorious captain, once they had overcome the enemy ship, would send one of his own men on board to take command of the ship and bring that ship back home. Because there was treasure, there was spoil, there was booty. And if you consider this here particularly, David is thinking of one who's been victorious and found great spoil. Well, he had known a little victory at this time. The princes had persecuted him, but they had not prevailed. The Lord was his strength and his shield, and he found the Lord's word to be such a joy to him as one that findeth great spoil. He had known a little victory, and here was the spoil, as it were, the word of God, the booty, the prey. You think of those sailors. They would bring the ship back, and they would go to the treasure chest, and they would pick up the handfuls of gold coins. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. What precious things we have before us. What spoil, what booty. Now, the Puritan Thomas Manton points out further a joy in harvest. In Isaiah 9, verse 3, we have some interesting words. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. It's the same Hebrew word. So we can think of a time of victory, a battle has taken place, the victorious one comes and considers all the treasure, the spoil, and there's joy. But then further, we can consider a time of harvest. And the one comes and gathers in the harvest, and there is the spoil, the fruit before them. And there's joy. The spoil is found and joy is experienced. A number of years ago, Audrey's younger brother went out onto the field with a metal detector. And whilst walking up and down the field, he came across something. The detector went off and it turned out to be these old coins. And he had a lot of money for them. It was the spoil. He found it in the field. What a happy man he was. What a happy man we are. For what a spoil we have found in the word of God. Great joy we have known. It's interesting what we read in Psalm 4 verse 7, returning back to the consideration of a harvest. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. Think of the harvest time, the spoil, as we see in Isaiah 9 verse 3, before those who had brought it in, joy. But oh, the heaven-sent joy brings much more gladness in the soul. Far more, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Jeremiah wrote again, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words were found. What a blessing when we find the word of God before our eyes. Yes, we have it, but then we begin to receive it, and we take note of it. And oh, the joy, thy words were found and I did eat them, the spiritual eating. And we taste and see that the Lord is good through his word. The word is a blessing and the Lord is a blessing to us. And it brings joy on a number of occasions. Where he rejoices for the book before him, the word of God, sets forth a number of things to him. That brings great joy. I rejoice at thy word. A number of years ago, the previous General Secretary of the TBS was given this lovely old Bible. And it had an amazing cover and a gilt gold edge. And it was an amazing Bible, its cover. And a number of us went near and we handled it and we looked at it, a few hundred years old. But what is in that book brings great joy, isn't it? Yes, we may have a precious Bible. The one before me was my grandfather's Bible, and I treasure it. But what's in the book brings great joy, isn't it? And we treasure what God has given to us from Genesis through to Malachi, because it sets forth a number of things. We haven't got time to stay here too long tonight on this point. But just consider why this book brought great joy to the psalmist and why it can bring great joy to us. First of all, God is set forth. And you recall he is the fountain of all true joy. What do we read in Nehemiah 8 verse 10? Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There had been mourning, but now it was to be a time of rejoicing. There was pardon, there was the forgiveness of sins. The Lord had shown mercy. He is the fount of all joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And just pause there. Those times when we know that precious joy in the soul is because of the Lord, isn't it? The joy of the Lord is your strength. We know that joy, the Holy Spirit excites that grace within, and we find a little strengthening, a lifting up for the downcast. The Lord is the fountain of all joy. That's why, first of all, this book is precious, because He is set forth. And what joy we have known in considering the Lord. Yes, we've been in awe of Him, but also what joy we have now. When we've read of Him, when we've been led to consider His attributes and His excellencies, it's brought us joy, hasn't it? Oh, consider He is our God, and He will never forsake us. The princes had come after the psalmist, and the psalmist found himself surrounded, but between him and those princes was the Lord. The Lord had not forsaken him. And the Lord does not forsake us. He's our covenant God. Oh, do we not find joy when we consider the Lord? But then consider secondly, Jesus is set forth, God the Son. We can consider our triune God, but let's consider secondly, particularly God the Son, Jesus Christ. He is set forth in the gospel concerning Him. No wonder we read here, I rejoice at thy word. We read of Jesus, our greatest friend, the one that sticketh closer than a brother, the one that came to redeem us, the one who went all the way to the cross of Calvary, the one who so loved us, the one who rose again for us, the one who ascended up into heaven as a forerunner for us, the one who is there making intercession for us. Do not we find ourselves rejoicing when we come to the Word and we read of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us? We read of Him and the glorious gospel. Remember those words of the angel in Luke 2 verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. That's interesting, isn't it? Many have heard those words, but they haven't found what we have found, that spiritual joy in view of Jesus. I bring you good tidings of great joy. And we read of Him and the glorious gospel concerning Him, and we say, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. On days when we have struggled, have not we on certain times turned to the Word of God and we've read of our Saviour who loved me and gave Himself for me. We've read some verses concerning His love which endures and His concern for the soul. And it's lifted us and we found joy. There's times when we come and we read those words, He's altogether lovely in the Song of Solomon. And then we look in other parts of Scripture and we see that truth again. And it lifts us. I rejoice at thy word. It presents to me my Saviour. Here I see my precious Saviour. Thirdly, another reason why he rejoiced at the word. And that's this, because there is the pardon for sins and acceptance with God set forth in this book. Remember what our Lord said to that one in Matthew 9 verse 2, the one sick of the palsy. Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. He went on to do that man good. But did you notice there, first of all, He said to him, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven me. And he made plain to that man there was forgiveness. And in this book it's made plain to us there is forgiveness. We who love the Lord, we rejoice because there has been that judicial forgiveness and justification. All our sins were forgiven. upon the event of faith because of the righteousness of Christ. But then there's fatherly forgiveness. We as the Lord's people, how we are thankful for that. Psalm 130, if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who shall stand? Not one of us could. But there is forgiveness with thee. And how precious is that forgiveness. And we read of it, don't we not? And we find ourselves not only in awe of God, but rejoicing in what he has said. There's the pardon of sin, an acceptance with God. Remember that one who had an issue of blood? She came behind our Lord. She was fearful. She later came down trembling before our Lord. Did our Lord turn her away? No, daughter. That's what he said to her, daughter. And we're presented in the word of God that we are accepted through the beloved. Does that not bring us joy? He's a holy God, and he hates sin, yet he accepts us because of Jesus. I rejoice at thy word. These things are revealed. But then fourthly, I rejoice at thy word, because in the book, God's word, comfort for the afflicted is set forth. Just turn with me to verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy words have quickened me. He had known that comfort. He had been struggling. He was perplexed. He was fearful. But the Lord has spoken to him a word of comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction. And dear brothers and sisters, we've gone to this book often, have we not, in affliction. Because we know the Lord has a word for us, and he is the one that comforts us. And we found joy on certain occasions. There's comfort for the afflicted presented in this book. Remember those words in Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people. And then in Corinthians, he is the God of all comfort. And he has comforted us, and that's a comfort, is it not? When we hear those words, we find joy, because in this book there are words of comfort for us in our situation. He's the God of all comfort, and that implies, does it not, no matter the situation we are in, whether long or deep, the Lord is able to comfort us in that situation and in the other situation. Fifthly, there's rejoicing in the word, because the word sets forth, there is guidance for the traveller. This time Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There have been times when we've been walking in the darkness of affliction, and we don't know the way, as it were. Yes, we know where to do what is right before the Lord, but in some particular situation, which way now, Lord? And the Lord's shown us, maybe wait, maybe to go down that way. There's guidance for the traveller. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How often we've been in a situation, wondering what to do, and then we read the word of God, and we know the Lord is just speaking to us. And it lifts us and it brings joy. There's guidance for the traveller. Sickly. There is hope for the cast down. That's another reason why we find ourselves rejoicing in the word. Psalm 42 verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Then the psalmist, he was cast down. But he begins to reason with himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. There's much ground for hope. And it's presented to us, is it not, in this book. We can be cast down. But then we come to the word of God on a particular day. And we're reminded of the promises of strength and help. We're reminded of the great promise of eternal life. And it lifts us, doesn't it? We have this hope. It may be so dark in affliction, but the Lord speaks, and we're comforted that all will be well. And we find ourselves rejoicing. Remember Paul and Silas, they've been thrust into that inner prison, so cruelly cast in with no care, and they're found singing praises at midnight, and they have placed their hope in the Lord. Seventhly, the word sets forth, there is heaven for the weary pilgrim. There is heaven for the weary pilgrim. And how often have we found ourselves rejoicing, though we may be weary, when we think of heaven after this life? Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And what comfort that has brought, and joy from the Saviour's lips. He's preparing us a mansion. I was driving down the road the other day, and I just thought of these words. I've got a mansion to go to one day. What a wonderful mansion it is. We're reminded of heaven in this book. We're strangers and pilgrims. We don't belong here, do we, in this present world? We're just here for a while. We're on the way to the heavenly mansion. We rejoice, do we not? You just think of eternity at this moment. Are we not thankful that this blessed book tells us of heaven for those who love Jesus? Heaven is before you. We're only here for a while. Our trials will soon be past in comparison to eternity. Heaven is before you. And does that not bring us joy? Well, we could go on. I rejoice at thy word. All these things and much more. Consider it tells us of providence. And what a comfort this is, particularly in difficulties, to know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I remember a number of years ago, my mother was doing some tapestry. No, it wasn't tapestry, it was lace making. And all these frets on this big cushion, all these pins, and moving one thread over another thread and another thread over another thread looked confusing to me. But then the picture, rather the lace, appeared. What a design it was. And are we not thankful though at times everything seems to be going this way and that way? All is working according to God's most holy and wise providence. Take comfort in that tonight. Whatever situation is before you, all things work together for good. The things we don't understand, the things we're in the dark on, all things work together for good. He has your very good in his heart. Does that not bring us joy? Consider further, it tells me how I am to walk with God, and that brings me joy. What a blessing. We're walking with the Lord, and we're told how to walk with the Lord. Micah 6 verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He shows us, but just consider that we're walking with God. He's so great, he's so holy, yet he's so gracious, so kind, so loving, so merciful. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Am I walking with him? The one who is in control. What a blessing, what a joy it brings. No wonder the psalmist is here. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. He thought of those who persecuted him. They missed out on so much compared to him. And do not we pity tonight the unbeliever? And do not we pity those who speak against us? They miss out so much. We have found such joy. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Well, time has passed, but we'll just briefly consider now the last two points. We'll be very brief. Secondly, my hatred. We've seen his joy, but now we consider secondly my hatred. Verse 163. I hate and abhor lying. The princes have made up lies. We see that in verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. There was no cause, but they were pursuing him. They had lied about the psalmist. They lied against him, which hurt him, but particularly it was contrary to God's word, and therefore he hated it, and he abhorred it, he detested it. Now he hated what God hated and does hate. In Proverbs 6, verse 16, we read these six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that served discourse among brethren. The Lord hates such things, and so did the psalmist. Now our Lord and Saviour taught us in Matthew 5, we are to love our enemies. We love our enemies. But we hate the sin. And that's what we see here. I hate and abhor lying. They were breaking God's law. They were sinning against him. I hate and abhor lying. Do we really love sin? No. When we really consider it, we hate it. Sadly, there are times when we stray and our minds are pulled to some sin. And we yield to temptation at times. And we're found transgressing. Yet when we really come to consider that sin, we hate it, don't we? Romans 7, verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I work, that I do. But what I hate, that I do. It's interesting, he was found doing it. Sadly, his heart had been pulled. He had yielded to temptation. But oh, when he'd been convicted, when he'd been humbled, he has this testimony. What I hate, the sin he hates, and so do we. And we know there's a battle with indwelling sin, Romans 7, verse 17. But then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It dwells within, and we have a battle with it. We need to battle hard, because we don't want to do what we hate, really, do we? But sadly, we're found doing it at times. We really hate sin when we really consider it, don't we? Even though at times we can be pulled and we yield to temptation. However, in contrast, sadly, many do not hate sin in the way the psalmist did. Doeg in the Old Testament had done much harm, and David wrote of it in Psalm 52. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Doeg, he didn't hate sin as the psalmist hated sin. What do we read here? I hate and abhor lying. When you think of lying, the hurt it does. And a dishonour to God. It is the breach of the commandment, isn't it? I hate and abhor lying. Think of the princes. They made up lies against it. It wasn't pleasant. The psalmist was even more concerned, was he not, for the glory and honour of God. I hate and abhor lying. Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way, not only lying, but every false way. I hate, it's against God, and it's law, it's sin, and it hurts others. We rightly hate sin. Why? Because we love the Lord, and we love that which is good. Amos 5, verse 15, hate the evil and love the good. Why do we hate sin? It's because, first of all, we love God, and we love his word. Our heart is for the Lord and for his word and that which is good. We love the good because we love the Lord. That's why we hate sin. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Manton. A hatred of sin arising from love to God and his word. A hatred of sin arising from love to God and his word. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Just before we close, we think of hating the sin that others commit. But do not we also hate our own sin, for it nailed our Saviour to the cross. He had to go all the way to the cross because of our sin. But in closing, we thought about my rejoicing, secondly my hatred, thirdly my love. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Consider it again. Why is there a hatred? Because God is loved and the word is loved. He makes plain what he loves. In effectual calling, love is put within, in the new birth. And so we read in 1 John 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. There's love in the heart. Love to the Lord, love to the brethren, and love for his word. And are we not thankful for that? We love the Lord, and we love one another with that love which is put within by the Holy Spirit, and we love the word. We have an affection, do we not? Our hearts are pulled to the Lord and his word. Remember those words in Colossians, set your affections on things above. And we know what it is to do that. Yes, we must attend to lawful things, but even in that, at times we can just pause and our hearts arise, our affections go heavenward. Our affections are also for the word. Just notice verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. Oh, how. And blessed are the days when we can say, oh, how. Generally, we can say we love the word of God, but there are those days when our hearts are stirred and we say, oh, how I love the word. We may have been so touched by our Saviour or a word of comfort. And we love him and we love his word because he has spoken to us. We hear the heart of the psalmist was so stirred, there was warmth. Thomas Manton again wrote that God's people have a great love to his word. Yea, such a hearty affection as cannot easily be expressed. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Blessed are the times when we know that warmth towards our Lord and to his word, and we're drawn more and more. Sometimes we can be cast down, the mind can be numb. Oh, for the warming of the heart, oh, for that soul stirring. Oh, how I love thy law. Thy law do I love. I hate sin. I love God's word. It tells me what is right, what I'm to believe and what I'm to practice. It tells me of my Saviour, I love the word of God. Having loved it, he treasured it and highly valued it. And do not we treasure the word of God? We thought earlier of one finding spoil, a booty or prey, there's treasure on a ship, or there's fruit at the time of harvest. It's highly valued. We highly value, do we not, the word of God? Just consider how the Lord has brought it home to you so often. The Lord speaks to you. We treasure what the Lord says to us, do we not? Job 23, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. See that esteem. You may go to a certain place and there's a banquet before you. And your eyes are drawn to certain plates on the table. It looks so nice. And you're drawn to it. But are we not drawn to the heavenly food even more? And we esteem, let me just use this one illustration. You consider a particular verse that has been such a help to you in affliction. You so value it, don't you? And you rejoice in it. And you rejoice that the Lord in his grace and mercy has brought that word home to you. Well, may the Lord bless his word to us tonight. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we do thank thee for thy word. It is thy word. And we thank thee for the way thou hast spoken to us often. We come to the word and we have heard thy voice. May we have a greater love, a greater esteem. And help us, O Lord, to so follow thy word more. May we be found rejoicing in it, O Lord. What a treasure it is. What gold it is. What a blessing it is. What a help it is. What a comfort it is. How very kind thou art that thou hast given to us thy word. And as we think of this tonight, we will pray for those places where they have not one verse of scripture, where yet thy word has not yet been translated. Oh, we pray, speed the day, that the knowledge of thee would be known in that place. Oh, we thank thee for thy word. May we be more in the word. Hear us now, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
If you turn with me to our second praise, Psalm 19. Psalm 19, we're going to sing verses 18 to 13. Psalm 19, verses 8 through to verse 13. The statutes of the Lord are right, and do rejoice thy heart. The tune is Andrew. Psalm 19, verses 8 to 13.
The statutes of the Lord,
the prayer points just before we look at them. Those of you who have joined us online, may the Lord richly bless you with all of our love and prayers for you. Just a reminder, we meet in person at 11 a.m. this coming Lord's Day, and at 6 p.m. we also, Lord willing, will have the live stream facility. May the Lord bless you.